Okay, this week is Parshas Noach, and it's also Rosh Chodesh, two Sifrei Torah, special Haftorah, Hashemayim Kisi, and a special Musaf Ato Yotzarta. It's very appropriate that Parshas Noach should be Ato Yotzarta. The Teva and the Mabel, Chazal tell us it wasn't. It is very appropriate that we recite on this week's parsha, Parshas Noach, Ato Yotzarta. The reason being, Chazal tell us that when Hashem destroyed the world, it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a marble and just flooded the world, and in the meantime he put man and animal in a box to shelter them from the marble. Chazal explained many different ways that pretty much the world was destroyed. The old world was destroyed. The world order was destroyed. And during the time of the marble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically recreated the world.
Created a new order.
And there are many different Mamari Chazal, different Machshavos that bring out this point. This week, when we read Parsha Snoch, when we go through a Parsha, we're starting the Torah again. When you go through the Parshas of the week, it's not just, you know, you're reading history. You're reliving the experience. You're reenacting. It's like a night of Pesach. Chayiv adam laharis es atzma kilu yotzei mitzrayim. To some degree, that's also true when you go through every parsha. Every parsha, you are reliving the experience. When we go through Parsha Snach, we are reliving the experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating a new world, a new world order. And from every time, it's also Shabbos. You can't deny the fact that it's Shabbos, and it's therefore very interesting, and very unique that this week we recite Ato Yotzarta Olam Chamikadem. The opening words of Musaf is not the Kanta Shabbos Ritzisa Karbado Secha, but it's you have created. Ato Yotzarta Olam Chamikadem, you have created a world, and the world that we're referring to when Ato Yotzarta, and this week at least, can be interpreted in multiple layers. In addition to the old world, also can be referring to the new world order that was created at the time when Noach and the animals were in the Teva. Okay, before we begin with some other things, I just want to be with one beautiful remez that I always come across this every year, and I enjoy this very much, is we know that there is a mile, this is a short remez, there's a mile of learning Torah, and there's a mile to be mispalel. Some people have talent, they're very good daveners, they're very makbid, they'll never miss a minyan, they come early to daven, they excel in the koyach hatfilah. And then there are people that excel in the koyach of Talmud Torah. Unfortunately, it's very rare to find the person that has both. Very rare. You find very, very great Talmidei Chachamim out there in the world, the real deal. But when you watch them daven, you're not impressed.
They come late to daven.
They come late, you're not impressed. They daven. No, Yin. You see serious Rosha Yeshiva. Serious Rosha Yeshiva. Who have authored very, very chashva svarim, but you know their davening is like everyone else. And then you see people that are very big mispalim. They have the koyach hatfilah, but they're not known to be the biggest talmidei chachamim. It's a very big brach when a person is able to synthesize the koyach of tefillah and the koyach of Torah. And in fact, as I'll say, the koyach of Torah really depends on the koyach of tefillah, and your ability to communicate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu depends very much on your hasmad in Torah. And that idea is alluded to with a beautiful remez. There are many remez to this idea all over Chazal, but in this week's parash Noach, there's a beautiful remez in one pasuk. Vayigberu hamayim vayirbu ma'od. The mayim increased. The marble began, and the waters prevailed, and they increased very much al haaretz. Vatelech hateva al pnei hamayim, and the teva, Noach's teva, ascended above. Vatelech hateva al pnei hamayim. The mayim is a remez for Torah. Hoy kol tzame l'chu l'mayim, and the teva is a remez for tzila, the words of tzila. Soyar tase la teva. When you learn Torah, you shall make a tsoyar. I think the plug, the juice ran out. Tsoyar tasel ateva, you shall make a tsoyar, illumination illumination for the teva means the words of tefillah. So in this one pasuk yitchas, the parak zayin pasuk yitchas, it combines the two together. Vayigberu hamayim vayirumor. When a person is blessed with the ability to be marbin in the koyach of Torah al aretz, then vatelach hateva al pnei hamayim, that will only enhance his koyach tefillah. That will only give him the ability to take the teva, the words that come out of his mouth. Teva also means the word, and have it ascend upon the koyach. Person should build, should use Torah as an opportunity, as a foundation to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now I want to go to another idea. This idea, it's been bothering me for 2 days, not 2 days, but for it's been bothering me what the deeper meaning of this idea is. I don't have an answer. I just want to throw out a short idea, something to think about. But I believe that in this idea there is something that is very, very deep. I came across a sefer which has a discussion, was the building of the teva doicha Shabbos? We do know that before that in ancient times, Noach, to some degree they knew about Shabbos. To what degree they observed Shabbos, it's not clear, but Hashem created the world in 7 days. This was known to the ancient people. There was something called Shabbos, and obviously there has to be, even in the time of Noach, some degree of Shabbos observance. What that means exactly, I do not know. But was Noach was commanded to spend 120 years building the Teva. Was the building of the Teva doich Shabbos? Whatever observance of Shabbos that Noach had... I can't hear what?
Every Shabbos
Shabbos project. Every Shabbos was it doich Shabbos? So the Pashto says it was. That's what I've seen. I don't remember the source. They have a sefer called. I remember these pamphlets called Alei Trufa. They pass around. So there's one section of the Alei Trufa which has these pelos, these wondrous things. So the person who wrote that section collected everything he wrote in the last 4 years, 4 years worth of material, and he published it in one sefer. So someone showed me the sefer yesterday. So I was looking through it. It's very interesting because I never can read that because it's too little. I can't read it too little. Well, it's in the Alei Trufa, but here it was presented in a very nice way. And there he has this discussion about, and he basically sources to say that it was Doicha Shabbos. That's the conclusion. Noach was allowed to build the Teva on Shabbos. 7 days a week, to a whole year, for 120 years, every single day he was there to inspire people, get ready, the world is coming to an end, do tshuva. There's one other construction project that plays a major role in the Torah, and that's the building of the Mishkan. And in Parshas Ki Sisa, Rashi elaborates at great length. First is the Mishkan, all the building materials, and then at the end of the first Aliyah, it says Shabbos observance. Then Shamru v'nei Yisrael es Shabbos, last is Shabbos. There are some baini v'vein b'nei Yisrael osi liolam. Rashi there quotes Chazal, asked the question: why in the world is the mitzvah of Shabbos juxtaposed to the building of the Mishkan, the collection of all the building materials, and the instruction to build the Mishkan in the beginning of Parshas Ki Sisa? What's the connection? And Rashi elaborates in very great detail that a person should not be misled to believe that the building of the Mishkan is Doicha Shabbos. When it came to build the Mishkan, stop. You have to stop. Everyone has to stop. And the Chazal even goes so far to say, of course, even Tosfos Shabbos. Don't even make a mistake and think maybe Tosfos Shabbos, I say the Chalos, I say. No, Shabbos is sacred. There's no Doicha Shabbos. So look at this. I don't know what the significance is. I'll just leave this as an open idea to think about. This must be...
Yeah. It was to be Machapah for the Ego. This was to save the world, building the table.
So I mean, you have to develop this. See a rub, a seasoned rub, right away knows how to develop it. But it's a very interesting idea that there are only two major construction projects in the Torah, as far as I know. Right? Am I leaving anything out? What? What? But that wasn't a mitzvah. That was an act of rebellion. But the Beis Hamikdash is the Mishkan, pretty much. I'm talking in the Torah, the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Beis Hamikdash is just an extension of the Mishkan, and that's also not even the Torah. I'm talking about like Chamish Chumshei Torah.
They had to be in the Shabbos before the Teva, because after they came out of the Teva, the God said, "Beyond the Lo
Yishpos." Yeah.
So I mean, thought process is that before you used to take a break during the week, now there's no mitzvah. You know, I'm telling you, you got to work 7 days a week. That's the way.
Lo Yishpos.
Then Goy Shishavas
B'Shabbos. But it was an idea, right? It has to be the Shabbos. There are Maamar Chazal that tell us.
What's the Alechnufus Makor?
He has a Makar. He has this. He quotes the Sefer, and the Sefer first says he doesn't know. He debates the issue, and then he quotes that. But in another place, he already concluded. He concluded that it was Deich Shabbos. So you have to look in the side. I didn't know I was going to say this. Otherwise, I would have actually quoted the source, chapter and verse. I get very desperate the Larry last minute, and I go back to some of the half baked ideas before we come to share. But the point is, look at this. Haloi Dover is a very significant man to take note of. To observe the contrast. There are two major construction projects, the building of the Teva and the building of the Mishkan. Both of them were in order they had a purpose of revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. The primary purpose of the Teva was not to be used. The purpose of the Teva was, it was a project in order to build people to be makir. There's Ribbono Shel Olam. And why do we observe Shabbos? We observe Shabbos is to be makir that Hashem created the world. The world didn't come to an existence by itself. There's a creator. Noach built the Teva for 120 years. People should wake up and realize there's a creator. Wake up. The world's going to be destroyed if you're not going to be. Halavai, we don't need the Teva. Do tshuva. Hashem will stop the Malma from coming. And the Mishkan is the makom for the Hashuas Hashchina. It's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his divine presence on this world. It's a place for people to recognize there's a creator. V'nohar olav kol ha'goyim. So the whole world. It's not only for Klal Yisrael. Ki beisi beis tfilu chol ha'amin. So the whole world. And yet, when it comes to the Teva, the marble, it's Deich HaShabbos. Deich HaShabbos. When it comes to the Mishkan, under no conditions of Deich HaShabbos, this somehow, I think, brings out the difference in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanchoga to the world. Okay, you have to develop, I'm just leaving open up ideas, to develop the Hanchoga HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the world before the marble and after the marble. Just like there were major physical changes in the world between the before the marble and after the marble, there was a change in the ability. There was the rainbow. There was a hashkafic change in the world between before and now.
Derech
HaTeva, for sure there was a change. But there was also the Derech HaTeva's change parallel the change in hashkafa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had and how he conducted the world. So basically, before the marble, the ends justify the means. That's one approach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the goal is to save the world, and but there's Shabbos. Shabbos itself is also a means of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say, why would Noach rest? If Noach would rest on every seventh day, people would, the Shabbos, Hashem created the world. Obviously, it was more significant in doing work on Shabbos, building a Teva and waking up people, than the ends justify the means. Whereas
maybe everybody rested. I mean, they were over a
chamos.
It doesn't mean they were over a...
Okay, you have to... I don't know the answer. Okay, but let's leave this with something to think about. It's an idea. Yeah.
I was just going to say, would it be more of a sign? Because people, if they kept Shabbos, and suddenly they see, well, Noach's building a Teva. Shabbos, what are you doing? What are you building a Teva for on Shabbos? They would ask him, what's wrong?
So you can say the same thing for the Mishkan. Why are you building the Mishkan? Or the Mishkan is a place for Hashem to rest his divine presence. Whatever you could say by the Teva, you can say for the Mishkan as well.
The fact that by the time of the Mishkan, the Jews were commanded to keep Shabbos. The Bnei Noach weren't commanded to keep Shabbos.
The Bnei Noach, okay, they were not commanded, but we know that they did observe the Torah before it was given to some degree.
No, but it wasn't a command.
It wasn't a command, but it was still...
At the time of the Mishkan, it was a command.
Okay, in a chanami, but it was still observed. If it was still observed, it should have been observed in the spirit of the law. Okay, I don't have anything concrete. I just want to make this interesting. I found this to be a very interesting observation, a contrast, and there has to be something very deep in the difference between these two major construction projects, why one is before, one is Deich, and one is not Deich Shabbos. Okay, let's go to another. The other following coming idea I saw from Rav Soloveitchik, there are many svarim that are printed today from Rav Yeshiva Soloveitchik Zatzal, and there is one particular one of the Svarim I have, he mentions this idea from Rav Soloveitchik. Now, I'm not telling you exactly where it appears there, but it's rooted in what he says. The beginning of the parasha begins with Nachush and Ish Tzadik Tamin Hoya Bidai Roisav. Yesh Darshim L'Shevach V'Yesh Darshim L'Gnai. Some interpret this is praiseworthy that Noach was a tzaddik. There was no one like him, and there was no one like him. Had he been another generation, he would have been even greater. The Yesh Darshim L'Gnai, that only in his generation he was a tzaddik. But had he been in the generation of Noah of Avram, he would have learned Nechshav L'Klum. So the Darshanim say, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chaim. It's not that these two different opinions disagree with one another. The truth is that had Noach been in the generation of Avram, mitzad echad, in some of his character traits would have been developed much even greater. He would have been very, very great. But there are certain flaws in his personality, his character, and his midos that would have been nothing relative to Avram. So there's really not—it's not a disagreement. It's two different sides of the same coin. Now, as far as the approach of lignai, that where is there a flaw, or just not a flaw, Chas Shalom Noach, but to emphasize the greatness of Avram, Rav Soloveitchik, he points out a very interesting Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says that we have this Parshas Noach, and next week is Parshas Lech Lecha. Where does Parshas Lech Lecha begin? Vayom Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzcha, me'maylatcha, me'esavicha, l'aris ha'shareka. You shall now leave Ur Kasdan. No longer shall you stay in this little village here. It's time for something bigger. It's time to get away from that. Because this from Nimrod and from what's going on here, I have to take you to Eretz Canaan. What about Terach? What happened to Terach? Did Terach come with Avram? Did Terach not come with Avram? So we know that he did. We know for a fact that Terach did tshuva. Terach was a very complex person. Terach gets honorable mention on the night of Pesach, at the Seder, the holiest night of the year. He's there. Terach Avi Avram, he's mentioned. That's significant. He gets attention. Terach Mitzad Echad was a murderer. He tried to murder his own son. He himself handed over Avram to Nimrod. He was Malshin, that's what Chazal say. Terach wanted to destroy his own child. On the other hand, Hashem told Avram, you're going to die, and you're going to go to your father. And Chazal say, learn from this, that Terach did tshuva. B'soif Yomav, Terach he saw the light, he saw that Avram was correct, that his whole...
So Yomav, he's in the last 75 years of his life, he didn't even see Avram.
But at some point in time, he did tshuva, it says. He did tshuva, and that's why Hashem told Avram, when you go to Olam Haba, you're going to be with your father, because your father has done tshuva. Obviously, Avraham's influence overspilled, overflowed to his own father, Terach. Where do we find that? So the Ibn Ezra says, and Rav Soloveitchik elaborates upon this at the end of this week's parasha. End of this week's parasha says... Vayikach, it says here, first, Vati Sarai Akara, Ein Lo Volot. Sarai was Akara, no children. Then the last few psukim, Vayikach, Terach, Es Avram, Terach took Avram, Beno, Vieslod Ben Horon, Ben Beno, Vieslod Kalosai, Es Avram, Beno, Vayetsu Itam Yorkastin. Terach picked himself up and left. Where are you going? Terach was the most honorable person in Ur Kasdan. He was the one who made appointed Nimrod to be the king. Terach was the man. His legacy was, you ever press the United States and say, you know what, I'm going to retire in Sweden. I'm going to move to Mexico. You ever hear such a thing before? I have enough. I was the president of the United States. I gave my life to this country. And now I'm already 70 years old. I don't want to step foot in the United States. I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to revoke my citizenship and become a citizen in another country. So this will be a scandalous.
Yeah, but last year, and the Malbim also says basically the same thing, that Terah, after Avram came out of the Kibshon Aish, he was a wanted man. The whole family, they were wanted people, so they had to get out of town.
Is that really okay? That's a mahalach. Okay.
That's why Avram took Lot.
Okay, Rav Soloveitchik doesn't seem to go with that approach. Okay, and I am planning the Torah, but it's a very bizarre thing. Why would Terach abandon his everything that he represented? The answer is, he came a point in time when he saw that Avram was right, and he saw that Avram had a mission his mission was to leave, to go to Eretz Canaan, and Terach went along with him. Now, Ibn Ezra says beferish that the psukim over here is ein muktam u'mukhar. Really, the Vayomer Hashem el Avram, the beginning of next week's parasha happened before Vayikach Terach es Avram bino. Really, when it says that he's sorry, akarein lo volot, that should be the end of Parshas Noach. That should be the end. And now we start a new parsha. Vayoyim Hashem Avram lech lecha. And after you have lech lecha, we go through the entire thing. The pasuk would say, who went with him? Terach also tagged along. Terach tagged along. It's only because of Avram did Terach go along. Now look what the Torah did in this week's parasha. Not only did the pasuk reverse the order, did it first tell us that Terach went with Avram before we have the command. It tells us in the pasuk that it makes it seem the one who decided we have to go to Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Canaan, and change our hashkaf in life and be and spread the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a new society was Terach. Avraham was the follower and Terach was the leader. That's what it says. Surah Salvation, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Terach. Terach! It's Ki'ilu Hashem spoke to Terach. Terach, I have a mission for you. I want you to become a new nation. I want from you shall come Klal Yisrael. I want you to leave Ur Kasdim. I want you to go to Eretz Canaan. So great, I'm all for it. I'm going to take with me my children. Vayikach Terach es Avram Bino, v'yeslod ben Haran, Ben Bino, his grandson, v'yesarai kalosei es Avram, v'yetsu itam, they went with Terach, mi'ur kastim ulechas aretz ha'knan, v'yevoar ad Haran, v'yeshu sham. What's going on here? So Rav Soloveitchik says an incredible chiddush. This was the greatness. This is an incredible, incredible chiddush. This was the greatness of Avram, and this is the greatness, the essence of what makes a great man. A great man does not take the limelight for himself. We always look at a person's a great man. Oh, I get the credit. My name must go on, must be in the byline. This is my work, my accomplishment. I get the credit. That's not greatness. That's selfishness. Greatness is the mission should be accomplished and I will remain anonymous and let someone else get the credit. Hashem spoke to Avram. Terach was a goner. Terach wanted to destroy Avram. He was beyond repair, Terach. He wanted to kill Avram. He threw him into the furnace. He assisted. Okay, there was a miracle. He survived, so on and so forth. That doesn't make up for the fact what he tried to do. Maybe he saw it. Hashem then speaks to Avram, Vayom Hashem Avram Lech Lecha. Avram, from you will come a new nation. Avram tells his father, Terach, I'm going. Terach begins to see, you know, Avram really is right. So Avram says, you see I'm right? Good, you know what? I want you to have the honor. I want to give you the covet. It's similar to Moshe Rabbeinu with Yisro. We find that when Yisro came to Moshe Rabbeinu, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He gave him all the covet. Moshe went out, Aaron went out, the Zakenu went out, the Klal Yisrael went out, and he told them, you, go, Hayisolanu le'enayim. You, Yisrael, the Oyvei Avodah Zarah, you should be for us, our leader, the one that will go in front of us. This is the greatness of Avram. Hashem spoke, this is the end of the parasha. This is who we're going to contrast now, the beginning of the parasha and then the end of the parasha. Noach took all the credit for himself. Noach was unable to influence other people. And perhaps the Musa that I think Rav Soloveitchik is trying to say is, the reason why Noach was unsuccessful in influencing the other people was because, okay, this is a very dangerous thing to say, I'm not entirely what he says, but it is that when you have a mission, why wasn't Noach successful? Noach wanted to I'm building a teva. 120 years, that's quite a lot of time. Noach obviously was a very great, holy person. It's because we're going to do things my way. It's my mission. I am Yoshev Roish. I sit at the head. It's my teva. I make the decisions. And you come on board with me. Come on board. You. It's me. It's about me. Noach ish tzaddik. He was an ish tzaddik. He was not Avram at the end of the parasha from the Ibn Ezra. It's clear. Hashem said to Avram, Avram, you're the tzaddik. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Here I can't make you into a nation. Somewhere else I'm making into a nation. And what did Avraham do? He right away convinced one person. Who's the one person that he was able to convince? His father. And he told his father, you know what? Since I've convinced you, you're going to be the leader. You go. You lead. Vayikach Terach. Terach was convinced of the mission, and he convinced him. It was Terach. He took Avram. What do you mean he took? Avram took Terach. Not Terach took Avram. Avram took Terach. That's exactly the koyach of Avram. He was such a tzaddik, he was able to, the tzidkus rubbed off on other people, and then Avram was able to sit back in the audience and say, I'll just be there to make sure everything goes okay, but you know, you could take the credit, you could have the honor. Vayikach Terach es Avram, b'no, v'yetzlo ben Horon, v'yet ben b'no, v'yetzor ha'ishto. That's how the parasha ends. The parasha contrasts the koichos of Noach. Noach is working to influence the world. He failed. Avram worked to influence the world. He succeeded, at least with his own father, and he did succeed, obviously, on Nefesh Asu B'Choron, and then he formed Klal Yisrael. Look at the difference. Look at the difference between the two. Noach was a tzaddik tamim b'day rosaf. He was a very great person in the generation, but had he been in the generation of Avram, he would have been nothing. What would have he have been? Nothing. Because Noach did not have the ability to give it over to someone else. To sit back in the audience and let to share the limelight with other people. It's more than just not inspire. You could inspire. But after you inspire, what do you do next? I can't take the credit. It's all my doing, and you have to give me the credit. Don't let someone else have any part. That is, unfortunately, it's a sickness. I mean, I don't mean to say anything about Noach, Chas Hashem, but we see this in this world. We see this in this world. We see people that are very successful. They're very inspiring. But when everything, when the day is over, watch out. Know your place. Now there has to be like that. We live in a world where if you don't protect yourself, someone will come along and swallow you up. They'll spit you out and swallow you up. But there has to be some degree of balance. You're good, you're inspiring, you help other people, and now you have to realize, you have to take other people on board and share the limelight. There has to be some balance to where you prevent people from stepping upon you, and where you allow other people to share in the success. The koyach Avram was so great, he convinced Terach, and the parasha concludes, it was Kilu Terach was the one that's going somewhere. That's not true, obviously, because we have Parash Lech Lecha, and we have Klal Yisrael, which only comes from Avram, doesn't come from Terach. But the way it's presented here is obviously very, very insightful.
Stopped at Choron.
Well, Terach came to a certain point. Terach was limited in what he can do because Terach wasn't Avram. And Hashem didn't speak to Terach. Hashem spoke to Avram. But Avram convinced Terach, and Avram gave over the reins to Terach until Terach died.
Well,
and then.
That Terach was behind the scenes, so to speak. He was interested only to get out of town. Avram had the commandment to go to Eretz Yisrael. Terach got within his sphere of.
And that was enough. That was enough.
Went far enough.
Okay.
Also by Avram.
Right, but Avram knew he had to continue to the
mountain. Also by Avram, there was a separate Indian. He had Kibbut Avahim.
Avram, that's a different approach. There are many ayin ponim l'Torah, why it stops here, in order not to be mivaza Avram, that he abandoned his father. That's not the way the Ibn Ezra learns. You know, Ibn Ezra is very hard. Ibn Ezra, you have to look at the Ibn Ezra, the very end of this parasha, how he makes that point, how he says that it's out of order. The point is, he says that it's out of order. Vayoyim Hashem el Avram took place before the last few psukim of Vayikach Terches Avram. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. Rav Soloveitcher takes note that the reason why Terach went, why the Chalal Terach go? It's only because of the influence of Avram. So the question obviously then is, why did it say Vayikach Terach? It should be Vayikach Avram. So what's the answer? The answer is, this is the greatness of Avram. Avram was so great, he influenced Terach, and then he said, Terach, you lead me. I'm going to go with you. That's an incredible godless. And that godless is something that we don't find by Noach. Noach, and perhaps, that's why Noach failed. Because Noach was only willing to influence people, provided I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I'm not going to share it. Now, that's a dangerous idea, because we know today, if you let someone do that today, in the 21st century, you're finished, right? You don't got a chance to swallow it up. But there's a limud hamusar in this idea, which can be applied in everyday life. Okay, let's go to another idea. We learn here about the bricks and the stones. The Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel, the only reason why they were able to build the Tower of Babel was because they were limited. They couldn't build the Tower of Babel because you need building materials. They didn't have steel. They didn't have all of the modern day building materials of the day. So there was an advance in technology where they created artificial stones. What is an artificial stone? A levena. Pasuk says, "Vayhi b'nasim mikedem, vayim suvik v'eret shinar v'yishu shem v'yim yishu v'yeh hava nil b'na levenim." Look at this. Let us construct artificial building materials, levenim, bricks. V'nishrefa l'shrefa, v'atihi lohem ha'levena l'oven. The levena was in place of a stone, because how many stones can you find? You can't build a tower to Shemayim with avanim. There aren't that many avanim in the ground to build. You have to...
Unless you start on top of a mountain where there's plenty of stuff.
Of avanim, but still it seems not enough. Even if there are avanim, there would not be enough. Atihi lohem ha'levena l'oven. The levena was an oven, v'achemar ha'yelohem l'achemar. So we learn over here the invention of artificial building materials. Levena is man-made, and an oven is the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People got carried away with their technology, and that's what led them to rebel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy them. Now what's interesting is, I think I once mentioned this once upon a time, is the difference between the Maisa Merkava. The Maisa Merkava, we have a Maisa Merkava in Yecheskel. Yecheskel, we learned this on the first day of Shavuos, early in the morning, when we're all very tired. And we also have an allusion to the Maisa Merkava, besides Yeshaya. I don't look up Yeshaya, but we have Maisa Merkava in Parashas Mishpatim. At the end of Parashas Mishpatim, it says, okay, let me find it. I'm not very swift in turning pages. Parshas Mishpatim, at the very end, it says, Tuma Mishpatim, here we go. Vayal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav Aviv v'Shiv Mizignei Yisrael v'Yiru, and they saw Eis Elokei Yisrael. They saw, who exactly saw? Wasn't all of them? Was it all of them? I think it was v'Yiru. Rashi says, "Nistaklu v'yitzitz v'nischayvu misa." Okay, Nadav Aviv. Who saw? It was Nadav Aviv. They were chayv misa. They saw. Now, what was the problem? And what? Now, here's the important part. What did it look like? Everyone know what it looks like? The kisei hakavod. They saw the sachas raglov beneath the legs of the kisei hakavod. Kemaseh livnas hasapir. Livnas, a sapphire, and livnas is a brick of sapphire, a levena. We just concluded that a levena is an artificial form of stone. It's not the real deal. A levena is when you take tit, you take clay, earth, and you take cement, some other material, and you form it together. It's artificial. They saw a replica of the Kisei HaKavod, and they gazed at it, and they were chayiv misa. And Hashem said, I'm not going to spoil this event. We're going to wait until another time, until they will lose their lives. That's Rashi. Fine. What about the Zakenim also? They saw the Livnas HaSapir. When did they die? Vayam kemisoininim. The misoininim, at a later point in time, they also died. Okay, v'atirah b'am esha v'tichlo b'ksia machane. Okay, b'katsinim shemachane means the leaders. Okay, the leaders. Let me make it a little bit lower. It's making squeak noises. Okay. Now, let's go to Yecheskel. In Yecheskel, Perek Aleph, Yecheskel also the Maisa Merkava. Why was he allowed to look at the Maisa Merkava, Yecheskel? If Nadav v'Aviv and the Zakenim were not allowed to look at the Maisa Merkava, we're not allowed to look at it, and because they looked at the Chayiv Misa, so what gives Yecheskel the right look at the Maaseh Merkava?
God showed it to him.
It's not.
She should close his eyes. She shouldn't look. Now, what is it? Now, there's a law.
It doesn't mean you look with your eyes. He was in a
so why was he even allowed to look with his seichel? He should have tuned off. He should have learned the lesson from the Zikain. Okay, the kasha is okay. It's not a good kasha, but the answer is going to be an answer anyway. Despite the question, let's look at the end of Perek Aleph. What exactly does it look like? What does the Ma'aseh Merkava look like? So here it's a Pasuk Chaf Vav, Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Vav in Yecheskel, Umimal Lorakia, Ashel Al Roisham, above the heaven upon the heads of the angels, Kemare Evan Hasapir. It's Evan Sapir. Demus Kisei, so the question over here is, what is going on? There's only one Merkava. Is the Merkava a Livnas Sapir, or is it an Evan Sapir? Evan is natural, and the Levena is artificial. It's man-made. So perhaps that answers the question of why Yecheskel was not punished, and why maybe he was encouraged to look, and whereas the Zakenim and the Nadav Aviv were severely punished for looking. It's a different perception.
That's your thought?
Whether this the contrast?
The says that the hate of the people from the thing that God was telling them, what was the hate of building the Migdal?
Yeah.
I gave you everything in the world that you need. You don't have to make artificial bricks. Making artificial bricks, it's a slap in the face.
Right.
You're wasting your time.
Or to use technology to rebel.
Right.
It's a use of technology to rebel. It's a good thing to have an iPhone,
so he said that,
but don't use it for Lashon Hara.
He rejects all the other interpretations of what the hate was.
Okay. There are many points. And many people say this idea that it's artificial. But so the question, don't you use man-made products to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But the idea I want to develop over here is, there's a very big difference in the way we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People throughout history are always trying to draw pictures or to present the true Hashkafa. What is Hashem? What is Hashem? Mo Hashem lokecha darish meimach. What does Hashem want? Does Hashem want you to be Satan? Does Hashem want you to be a Litvak? What does Hashem? What does Hashem want you to be? What is the image, the portrait that we paint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So unfortunately, throughout history, we're imposing or superimposing ourselves upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like they say, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdalos. There's a study done of people who drew portraits of Yashka. So they're always drawing themselves. They're always, every society is always putting themselves. They're making him into themselves. Instead of making you like him, you make him like you. So that's exactly the problem. That's between Yecheskel and the Zakenim. The Zakenim, when they looked at the Shekhinah, when you look at it, what do you see? You see what you want to see. I mean, there's something to see, obviously, but you are distorting the vision by, they saw a Livna Sasapir. A Levena, by definition, we learn from this week's parasha, there's an Evan and a Levena. The Daraflaga, they took, the chait was, they took a Levena to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Levena means it's artificial. They saw in HaKadosh Baruch Hu what they wanted to see. They were not intellectually honest in appreciating spirituality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them the Torah. The Parashas Mishpatim is describing Matan Torah. Oh, Matan Torah. So Hashem opened up the sky. Look, why is Hashem allowing them to see? Hashem wants them to see. The chait was what they saw. They saw what they wanted to see. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisya Kavon in the form of a Livna Sasaber, which means there was some negiyos. That some of the mitzvos of Hashem were too hard, too difficult. So instead of humbling oneself and saying, yeah, nastev and nishma, Hashem, we're going to rewrite the Torah. The Torah, the Kisya Kavod, is going to be according to our understanding, according to man-made. We're imposing man-made restrictions upon the Kisya Kavod. That is the worst possible sin. To go tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu you're limited to what, to what, to the way we think, to the way we want to deal with you, that is a very great sin. That's why they were chayiv misa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind, did not want to ruin the party. He waited until later on, until Nadav Avihu and his kingdom died. Yecheskel, at the time of Golos, when Yecheskel, when he saw, it was also in a reference, but he did not see, it wasn't, Yecheskel and Yirmiyahu were the same time, I'm thinking about Yeshayah, I'm sorry. Yecheskel and Yirmiyahu were the same time of Golos. He was at a different level. He was intellectually honest with Ruchnius. When he saw the Shekhinah, he saw Evan HaSapir. Evan is it's in its purity. I'm not imposing my man-made, my human limitations upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the pure, real deal. It's the Evan, it's not Levena. And that's why he was not punished. In fact, he's praised. And that, in fact, is what we aspire to on Shavuos. Zman Matan Torasenu. We focus on the Ma'aseh Merkava of Yecheskel. We don't even mention at all any Ma'aseh Merkava of Matan Torah. We don't name this. We don't even touch this portion of the Torah. Why not? If you're ready to talk about the Ma'aseh Merkava, go talk about what it says in the Torah. Because the Torah is not a good sign for us, what it says there. There was a chait, it was a livna sasapir. We were trying to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our understanding, whereas Yecheskel was being intellectually honest and was looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its purity of the Evan HaSapir. Okay, let's go.
You can say the same thing, the Gemara gives the story of the people who entered the Gan, Rabbi Akiva survived it. You could say, use the same idea. Rabbi Akiva saw what he wanted, and the others saw what they wanted.
And that's why there were different results. Enechanami. You're projecting yourself onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is obviously wrong. Okay, another quick short idea. I saw this idea in the Sefer by Shane He makes the following point. What I'm telling you is not what he says, but the idea comes from him. He just makes an interesting point. It's Shem Chom V'Yefes. The Shem Chom V'Yefes are mentioned multiple times in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Bereishis, maybe other place. Every time we mention Shem Chom V'Yefes, the trup, look at the Tamim, Shem always gets his own trup. Okay, in the beginning of the parasha, let's just give one example. Vayoled Noach Shleish Avonim, Eshem, and that's a Tipcha, which means don't connect Hamafsik, don't Eschom, the Es Yafes. There's a Chom, and there's a Yafes, and there's a Shem. Each one has their own Nigun, has their own song. Don't mix the two. And in fact, Shem is the holiest of the three. From Shem comes Klal Yisrael. So Shem and Echanam, he stands out always.
That's why he's mentioned first.
First, even though he was younger. And this is true in Bereishis, and it's true in the Parsha. The only time it's different, it's fascinating, is when the Mabul begins. And they enter into the Teva. Vayavo Noach. Okay, pasuk. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, bo Noach v'shem v'chom v'yefes b'nei Noach. This is a good word for Shabbos project. V'shem chom v'yefes b'nei Noach. All of a sudden, this parasha, Shem has no trap. Shem is mechuber. Chomis is not from the good people. Chom, from Chom comes Canaan, comes the curse. Or Canaan comes from Chom. Chom was the one that did the Avera. Chom was the worst. All of a sudden, Shem has no nigun. He's not singing his own song. Does not get his own trap. And in fact, is mechuber. There's a messeg that connects Shem to Chom. What's going on? We go mikotze elakotze. The other four times, not only is Shem has his own tam, meaning has his own personality, he's always a personality that's distinct. It's always distinct. It's always a mafsik, a tipcha, other types of chop. I don't have nothing to do with Chom and Yefes. They're the geishas. They're the evildoers. They're the bad guys. I'm religious. I'm better. I'm special. But when they're going into the table, all of a sudden. So what does that mean? So they're different. So Rav Shane, he has an idea. But I think just one mahalach, one approach is that when there's a churban in the world, when there's a churban in the world, right now, all along, we mentioned Noach and Parshas Bereishis, all right, three children, before and after, when the world is not, the world is noig ha'olam kimin haga, everything is going according to plan, you do your thing, I do my thing, and when he does his thing, everyone. But when there's a churban in the world, when the world is being destroyed, it's not a time to prophet tzidkis. It's not a time. Listen, the world is being destroyed. I'm a tzaddik. And therefore, get lost. Get lost. When there's a churban in the world, it doesn't make a difference who you are. Your religious garb doesn't make a difference. Even shame that his godless, his greatness was, I'm not my own person now. Now I have to bond with my brothers, even my irreligious brothers, my brothers who have no connection to anything spiritual. Chum was not a good guy. Chum didn't turn out well for him. Shame says, I'm one with you, because the world is now about to be destroyed. Now is a time we have to bond together to we have to come together in a time of tzara, in an eis tzara. Lech kinos es kol hayehudim. All brands of Judaism had to come together in order to prevent Haman from destroying, because Haman did not differentiate between a religious Jew and an irreligious Jew, and this brand and that Jew. There was a churban in the world. Then what was the response of Mordechai? Lech kinos es kol hayehudim. That's that same idea is mamish found here in the hidden, in a very delicate way of shame giving up his uniqueness, his identity, and being mechaber with his brother. Okay, let's go to another quick idea: the birds. This idea also comes. This is just a ha'ara. Birds. If you would want to be a creature. Think about this. If a person was saying, tell a person would be told that in the next Gilgal, you're not going to be a human being. You're going to be a creature. What would you want to be? A bird, a dog, a cat, a rodent? Certainly not a mouse. What would you want to be? You could be a dog, man's best friend, right? Or you can be a lion. A lion is a very boring life. It sits, and goes to sleep. It sleeps for 20 hours. So the chayra, most people would want to be a bird, because a bird is unlimited. A bird has wings. In fact, Chazal have a lot of shevach for birds. Birds are the most spiritual. They fly. They're part avir, part earth. They have wings. They fly. They fly. That the koyach of flying, the shoyt ba'olam, is a tremendous koyach. That's a spiritual koyach. The neshama flies throughout the world. In the teva, though, this was very interesting. In the teva, the birds were nothing special, because there's nowhere to fly in the teva. In the teva, a whole year, the birds are no different than all the other animals. The animals are grounded, so you sit in the forest, so you sit in the teva. What's the difference? At least in the teva, you have widescreen television with food, right? Everyone gets food, you have no digas. But the one that really suffered the most in the teva were the birds, because the birds were limited. So it's interesting, there's a change in order. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I'm going to destroy the world. Okay, go to the beginning of the parasha. When we call Hachai, we call Basa, Shnai, we call two from everything, Yitav, 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 Lach, Yosidach, Zonakeva. What does Hashem say first? What's the most chashuv? Meha'oif. Even the birds are going to be destroyed. Lamineu, Minah Behema. Then the animals, lemina, mikol remes vadam, and then the creepy crawlers, lemina, shnai mikol, and it says this order multiple times. The only time the order is changed, Rav Shem takes note. Can it says again in pasuk ches, the next parakhes, v'na behema hatohira. No. The only time it changes is indeed is when they actually enter the teva. When they enter the teva, vayavay neyach banav yishol banu shelvav ito el hateva. They enter. Who comes first? When I behem, all of a sudden, the birds are last. The birds, seemingly, according to Rabbi Shane's interpretation, are the least chashuv. Why? Because here in the teva, you can't fly. You can't fly, you're not worth anything. Your whole koyach, when a person, and what the Musar Haskell is trying to bring out is, when a person has potential, when you are given gifts in life, you're only worth something in this world when you utilize the gift. If you don't utilize the gift, the gift that you've been given in this world, You're nothing. Just because you have potential, if you're not going to utilize that potential, you're reduced from being the most chashev to the least chashev. In one respect, the birds are the most chashev. They're not the strongest, but they have something that no one else has. They can fly. And that's why they're listed first. But when they're coming into the teva, your wings aren't worth anything here in the teva. So therefore, get to the back of the line. You're going to be going economy. All the animals are going business class. Birds are going economy or in cargo. Because here in the teva, wings don't do you anything. Okay, this is.
Not only are you not equal to the others, but you're less than the others.
You're less because you have no opportunity to utilize your potential here. And so it's just a waste for you to be here with us. So therefore, cargo, other animals, they can sit and learn, they can do things. Other animals, whatever talents they had in this world, they can utilize to some degree in the teva as well. Koilel for 1 year, Shemitah. But not the birds. Their whole kayach is to fly, not it. It's very powerful. I think it's a very nice idea. Okay, another interesting idea. I saw this in... and my favorite sefer, Vayomer Eliyahu, in Rav Eliyahu Atya. He makes the following connection. It's a very powerful connection, I believe. At least it struck me. Here, when the birds enter the teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I want you to bring all different animals. So it says many times, Zachar and Nekeva, male and female. But at one place it says, bring into the teva, Ish v'ishtai. Let me see if I could find it. Take for you into teva, 7-7, Ish v'ishtai. Man and wife. So what in the world? Ish v'ishtai? You're coming into the teva. First Hashem tells Noach, I got bad news to tell you. The world is coming to an end. Human beings are going to be destroyed, and all the animals. And when Hashem tells him about the destruction of the animals, Hashem says, the male animals and the female animals, they're goners. So we need a plan. Let's plan. The plan is, we'll build a teva, and you'll bring into the teva a few select creatures. Here, when Hashem describes who's going to be allowed to enter into the teva, into the home, into the abode of Adam, he all of a sudden, instead of describing the males and females as Zachar Nekeva, he describes the male and the female as an Ish Ve'ishta, as a husband and wife. Very bizarre. Since when do they ever go to a wedding? They have the wedding, dog weddings, and they have bar mitzvahs, bark mitzvahs, and so on and so on. Since when do you ever see a wedding? No, it doesn't. It says here, God, Zachar Nekeva, God of Hashem, Shiva, Zachar Nekeva. Yeah, you're right. Good point. Okay, you're right. Okay, and Echanami. But when it comes to the beginning, okay, let's just focus on at least one time. Okay, but in the beginning of the parashah, when it talks about the destruction, it says Zachar Nekeva, just a general term. So it's a good kash. So he says an answer. It's a very powerful answer. And to bring out the answer, he jumps ahead to Parshas Chayesara. Chayesara is the Parsha of Shidduchim. Now, he's not focusing on Yitzchak and Rivka, he's focusing on Eliezer. Avraham says that the time has come to marry off my son Yitzchak, and I'm going to appoint my slave, my Eved, Eliezer, to do the job.
Now,
it's a little shocking that Avraham would select a slave. Vayomer, and it's very clear, it's clear as day, over and over, that he was a slave. Vayomer Avram el Avdo. The word Eved has appeared multiple times in the parash. Vayomer Avram el Avdo. Zikan Beis Avinu Kol Shelo. V'yashpich Hashem, multiple times he calls Eliezer his Avdo. So the question is, why would Avraham entrust the Netzach of Klal Yisrael, of Yitzchak to Avdo Eliezer? So, and furthermore, we know that Eliezer had Negiyos. Eliezer had his own daughter, which he wanted to marry off to Yitzchak. However, even though 95% of the time he's called Avdo, there are few places in this parish where suddenly, Gesundheit, his name changes to an Ish. Ish. The man bowed down. When he saw Rivka, it says, The Ish was in shock. He was studying her. How could it be that she? How could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu so swiftly has fulfilled the mission? So Rav Atiya says, "Vayavei ha'ish." It changes from Eved to Ish. So Atiya explains, because when a person is brought up, is fulfilling the mission of a superior. When a person is acting on his own, he's just an Eved. But when a person is fulfilling a mission for someone, he's under the guidance of a superior, he takes on the characteristics, the nature, he's uplifted, upgraded to a higher sphere than he is on his own. Eliezer on his own was nothing more than an Ish.
An Eved.
But when he was given a mission, when he was entrusted to be an extension of Avram, to fulfill a certain mission, he was upgraded, he was uplifted through the influence of Avram to becoming an Ish. Not just an Eved. Later, he goes back to being the same Eved. But in the meantime, when he has this mission, now he's a new person. It's like I read, it's always sticks out of my mind. Certain reasons, some things always stick in your mind. About a year and a half ago, the OU published in Jewish Action, it was an amazing article about a Jewish and Orthodox screenwriter. Orthodox Jewish screenwriter in L.A.
Robert
Average. And he writes, and he worked on some very, he says he writes there that he knows all the biggest names in Hollywood, and he writes there that some of these people you wouldn't believe on screen, they appear to be so sophisticated, so real bright, genius, brilliant, as in real life they are super, super shallow, and they desperately need someone like me to tell them, to make them into a person. It's shocking how he writes it. That someone has to give them a role. And when they give them a role, they're unbelievable. But when their role is over, they turn into nothing on their own. They can't stand in this. And you see this, unfortunately, every year you see this in the news. What happens? What happens? So this is what Rav Atiya says. He says something amazing. This idea, it's an incredible idea, how far it goes. And there's definitely truth to this in Chazal and in the world we know today, is that this idea that Eliezer, the Eved Avram, who Avram said about him, At Oror Vani Baruch Vein Oror Medabik Baruch, was suddenly transformed into an Ish because he was given a role. He was an actor, but he was given a mission. Who was under the influence? Avram Avinu, the great tzaddik. When an animal, a behemoth, mamash a behemoth, comes into the teva, you come into the home of Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. You're living in my home for a whole year. I'm going to feed you. Even an animal and the zohar and the nekeva can turn into an ish v'ishtai. That's how great the influence of a tzaddik is. When you have someone, when a person who knows, the Musar Haskalah is when a person knows that he has shortcomings, if he can only attach himself to a person that is greater and follow in the derech of a tzaddik, that tzaddik can bestow upon him characteristics, can elevate him to being a person of greatness. If this can be true, Eliezer, and going a step further, even animal can become husband and wife. I pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Dog and Cat. Alachas kam v'kama, when you're starting Klal Yisrael, who are Kedoshim, Nevi'im, B'nai Nevi'im, when only they'll attach themselves to what it says in the Torah, to live the words of the Torah, it can upgrade them to a degree of spirituality, a degree of dignity and sanctity that's beyond our wildest expectations and belief. Okay, with that we will conclude. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best.